It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here. My name is Jacob Gwynn, joined by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to see you tonight. Good to be together on the Virtual Bible Study. Look forward to an interesting study about a subject that literally affects us all.
Yes, it is, and we all are going to have to face adversity in our life. We want to look at the question tonight, how do we deal with our adversity? How do we deal with the challenging times in our lives? And we're specifically going to go to the Bible and look to God's Word for God's guidance and advice on how we can deal with the tough times in our life. We want to talk to you as well. We want to hear from you. How do you deal with difficult times in your life? Do you have any ideas on how we can deal with the challenges we face in our life? Give us a call at 931-381-4567 or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
In fact, Jacob, if there's somebody out there listening who never has had hard times, we'd like to hear from them especially.
You definitely need to listen because they're going to be coming.
Yeah, if you hadn't had them yet, you're going to have them. That's one of the things we want to talk about. It's a reality of life in this present world that we have to deal with certain hardships. Of really a wide variety of different kinds of difficulties can come our way. So it's not a question really of when, or it's not a question of if, it's a question of when and how you're going to deal with it when it comes, Jacob.
And so this topic is extremely important because we need to be prepared. We need to know how God wants us to deal with the challenges we face in our life. We hope you'll stay tuned. Joining us in the studio to help with the discussion, my father-in-law, Nick Law, is here from Jennings, Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Jacob. Good to be with you all.
Glad that you're here with us.
And Nick's one of our normal listeners, and so tonight we've got him right here with us to participate. Nick, we're glad you came.
We want to hear from you again, 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. How do you deal with adversity? How do you believe the Bible instructs us to deal with the difficult times we may face in our life? Dad, as you mentioned, difficult times will come. They come to everyone. Bad things happen to even good people. We just have to look at different characters in the Bible to see that even though they were righteous and godly, they still had to suffer through difficult times in their lives.
That's right. The man Job, for instance, in the Old Testament, was described as a really excellent person. In the book of Job, God even held Job up to Satan as an example of what a good man he was. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And so Job was a great person, but he lost all of his possessions. Every one of his children was suddenly and horribly killed. His wife turned on him. He lost his health. So Job would stand out as a real example of the fact that bad things can certainly happen to good people.
You know, look at John the Baptist, Nick. John the Baptist was doing God's will. He was preaching about Christ coming, and he paid the price for it.
That's right. If we stand up for truth like John the Baptist, we will face adversity. Whoever is opposing God and his truth, we're going to have to face them. And we need to have the courage that John had.
Exactly. You know, and Dad, one more we could look at in the New Testament, Paul, the Apostle Paul, a righteous man doing God's will, and he suffered adversity, not necessarily even related to what he was doing. He had a thorn in the flesh that caused him some adversity. But he also suffered for doing what was right.
He suffered for doing what was right in the fact that he was severely persecuted on many occasions. But as you said, Jacob, he also suffered a physical infirmity of some kind that he referred to in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as a thorn in the flesh. And he even asked God three times if it could be removed, and it was not. And so he had to accept God's strength to deal with it. And so he sort of stands as a case study of someone dealing with adversity, and we can learn a lot of lessons from him and other things in the Scripture. And that's what we want to do in our study tonight, Jacob, is look to the Word of God and study about how people dealt with infirmities, what God's Word says about dealing with infirmities. But before we pass from examples, Jacob, we ought to mention the Lord Jesus himself.
The only perfect man ever to live to prove our theory that bad things happen to good people. Here's the ultimate proof. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, he still suffered. He had adversity to go through in his life. And so, Dad, we should not be surprised when bad things happen to us, when we have to go through those difficult times.
That's exactly right. Bad things happen really not just to good people, but to all people. And it's a guaranteed thing. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so, as we said, Jacob, it's not a question of if bad times or hard times, or difficulties, adversities are going to come your way. The question is, how are you going to deal with them when they come? And what we find out is the Bible gives us answers to those questions, just like it gives to all important
those
questions.
Two passages you noted, James chapter 1, verse 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, use definite words there to describe the fact that our difficult times are coming. It says, when you shall fall into diverse temptations, not if you fall. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Yea, then all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not may or might, they shall suffer persecution." And so hard times are going to come. The question is, how are we going to deal with the adversity we face in our life? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. How do you suggest that we deal with difficult times in our lives? What are the instructions that we can read in the Bible about dealing with adversity? It's something we all need to be prepared for, so that when the difficult times come our way, that our faith is not shaken and we are not stumbling through those times, but we are prepared to deal with them as God would have us to deal with them. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
Jacob, one of the things that we observe, because people have been dealing with these kind of issues, I suppose, all through time, and so men have tried to come up with some explanations, and sometimes they've just come up with some really terribly flawed explanations as to why men suffer and where does this all come from. I was doing some reading after Mary Baker Eddy, and I think a lot of those who are listening will recognize her as the founder of the Christian Science religion. And I picked out a few quotes from her book, Science and Health. She said, "Sickness is but a belief, therefore but a dream and illusion." Another quote, "Because God sends not sickness, sin and death," in other words, God sends not sickness, sin and death, "they never were sent and are but the dream and an illusion of personal sense." Another quote, "Man controlled by wisdom, truth, and love has no physical suffering. His body is harmonious." And so Mary Baker Eddy taught that suffering is not real. It really doesn't exist. It's just your imagination. And if you're hurting, it's just an illusion. It's not real. Suffering is not real. God didn't send it, therefore it does not exist. That's the way she put it. And, of course, a whole religion was built upon that philosophy.
Well, the problem with that is the Bible just doesn't teach it. The Bible teaches us that suffering does exist, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." We see, Nick, that the Bible teaches us that there is suffering in the world. It does exist, and we need to be prepared for it.
Yes, as Paul told Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So that's saying that we are going to suffer. The question is, what kind of suffering and for what reasons are we suffering becomes very important. Over in 1 Peter 4, verse 15 through 16, it teaches us that we can suffer for wrongdoing. It says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." This shows that we can suffer, and we can suffer for wrongdoing and not be commended for it. But if we suffer for that which is right, we will have the reward for it.
We might also point out, again, we used the Apostle Paul a minute ago. We might point out another example from his pen in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He said, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel to you at first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Paul talked about his physical infirmity there, some kind of a problem that he was suffering with. And the suggestion of that text is that it was such a thing that it was perhaps would even turn people off, or maybe be sort of disgusting to see Paul in this physical affliction that he has. So he suffered with it, and it was an obvious thing.
Well, Dad, you mentioned Mary Baker Eddy and the Christian Scientists. Now, don't they also believe that if you are suffering, it is a result of maybe some sin in your life?
Well, that's a, you know, that's a an idea that's been around for a long time too. I mentioned a little earlier, Jacob, the man Job, and all the things that he suffered. If our listeners are familiar with the book of Job, and I'm sure most are, you remember that he had three friends who came to talk to him that imagined themselves as his comforters, that they would comfort him. They didn't do any comforting. Basically, they just assailed him with this idea, Job, you're suffering. Therefore, it is obvious that you're guilty of some kind of sin, because suffering doesn't happen to good people. It only happens to bad people, and therefore, you are a bad person. You've been concealing it from us. You might as well come clean and tell us what's going on, because we know that since you're suffering, you must be a bad person. So that idea has been around for a long time. In fact, many people think that the book of Job may be an historical record of the oldest nature in the Bible, maybe that he even predated Abraham and so forth in the Old Testament. And so that idea has been around for a long, long time.
The Bible just doesn't teach it. You know, in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, the famous exchange there, we read, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." We see that sin and our sinfulness is not necessarily connected with whatever suffering that we may endure. We may suffer even though we are righteous, as we've shown. The fact that Jesus suffered shows that suffering and sin are not directly connected. They may be connected, but are not directly connected. But, you know, Nick, connected with this point, you know, I think I'm afraid that a lot of people who are living in sin and living a sinful life may get tired of the suffering that they're going through and decide, hey, I need to come to God and need to start living as I should. And I'm afraid that maybe some people have a bad expectation, a wrong expectation when they come to Christ and start living for Him, that now all the suffering is going to be gone. If we come to follow Christ with that expectation, then we're going to be disappointed.
That's correct. If we can see that our Master had to suffer, the very Son of God suffered, and He actually left us an example that we should follow as we do go through this life in the suffering. We don't retaliate. We don't retaliate against those who may bring suffering upon us, but rather we try to live our lives in such a way that it would glorify God in all that we do.
And Dad, finally, before we leave this and go on to our break, a lot of people, when suffering occurs to them or to someone that they love, they begin to have their faith in God shaken. They say, yeah, if there is a God, why would He allow me to suffer? Why would He allow someone that I love to suffer? If there's a God, why is He doing this?
The problem of human suffering is typically used by the atheists as one of their most powerful arguments against the existence of God. They say, since there is suffering in the world, then either there is no God or He's powerless to stop it. They use the reality of human suffering to argue their position that there is no God. But that, of course, is a fallacious argument. We're going to point that out as we study a little more, Jacob. But I was reminded of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. You remember, because they were faithful to God and they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, he threatened to throw them into the fiery furnace. He says, you bow down, next time the call comes, you bow down to the idol or else. And I've always been encouraged by their response in Daniel chapter 3, beginning verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Notice those three great men said, listen, we believe that God's capable. He could deliver us out of the fiery furnace if He chose to do so. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your image. We're going to serve God. And so, they did not have in mind that the test of God's existence will be He will definitely deliver us out of the fiery furnace. They said He can if He wants to. He's able. As it turned out, He did. But they said, even if He doesn't, it doesn't prove that there is no God. And we're not going to bow down to the image. And that is really a powerful statement of their faith.
Well, we're going to go to a break, and we want to hear from you. How do you deal with adversity? Are you surprised when adversity comes, or do you expect it? How do you deal with it? Why not give us a call at 931-381-4567 or send us an email, to questions@collegeview.com. We'll be right back after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name is Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday night.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight at 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. How do you deal with the difficult times that you face in your life? They're going to come. They're for us all. We all will suffer difficult times. Jesus suffered. We should not expect to be any different than the Son of God. We will suffer in this life as well. How do you deal with those sufferings that you have to face?
Jacob, we talked about some of the wrong ideas that people have had as to the source of or the reason behind suffering. But we actually know that there are some answers to the question. They might not be complete answers or fully satisfactory in and of themselves, but there are several things we can put together to come up with a really good picture about suffering and why it exists. For instance, I would start us out by saying that some suffering exists because God has established certain natural laws that regulate where we live in this present world. For instance, there's real gravity. You know, and overall, gravity is a pretty neat thing, and we ought to be very grateful that we have it. You know, we wouldn't be able to keep our feet on the ground if we didn't. Life would not be possible as we know it if it were not for the reality of gravity. But with that natural law in mind, there's a potential that it can cause suffering. If you step off of a 10-story building and fall to the ground, you're going to suffer by virtue of the law of nature, and so which is gravity. So, you know, some of the natural laws that God put in place have the potential to bring about suffering. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that's the way it is, and so we try to live our lives in harmony with natural law. You're driving a car, and you run into a tree, you know, what do they call that? That's a irresistible force meets an immovable object, and something's going to give. The laws of nature are going to regulate that something bad happens. But the laws of nature are themselves good and typically for our advantage.
And God works within those laws that He has set up, Dad. He can break any law that He chooses, but He has chosen to work within those laws. And so God allows these things, these forces that He has set into existence, to be carried out. And as a result, sometimes suffering occurs.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is really the idea that God has chosen to limit Himself in relationship to these natural laws. Now, that hasn't always been the case. We might point out there have been times in the past, Nick, really the definition of a miracle, as we talk about a miracle, is the suspension of natural law, when God caused natural laws to be superseded. That's my understanding of what a Bible miracle was, and there have been times when God certainly did, but He doesn't do it now. He's chosen to limit Himself.
That's correct. When we think about definitions of the word miracle, and we think of definitions that people give today, for example, they might look at the sun rising in the morning as a miracle, but in reality, it would be a miracle if it did not appear to arise.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know, every once in a while, well, fairly often actually, you know, a new baby is born and somebody says, oh, it's a miracle. Well, it's certainly a wonderful thing when a new baby is born, but it's not a miracle. It's completely by laws of nature that God has put into. Now, there was one time when God violated that law by a miracle and Jesus was born of a virgin. But other than that, every time a baby's born, it's according to the natural laws of this world that God put in place as He created it. And so I think it is important that we understand miracles. Jacob, we might have another program on that at some point. In fact, we've been talking about the possibility of having a program about miracles. But what we're saying here is that God has chosen not to violate those rules. He's chosen to limit himself. God can do anything he wants, but what he's chosen to do and what he's informed us in the Bible is that he's chosen to limit himself and not work miracles in this present day.
That's right, and so God could stop the suffering, but he works within the laws that he has established, and that's why some suffering exists today. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Britt has joined us on the phone. Hello, Britt. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jacob. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going good. Thank you for calling tonight.
You're welcome. When I have difficulties, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one dealing with this issue, or I may feel that no one really cares. But I have some scriptures that I read from time to time, and that's in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 17 through about 21.
Can you read that for us, Britt?
Yeah, sure. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
And Brent, I think that shows us the power of the God that we're dealing with here, doesn't it?
Yeah. The Bible, my Bible that I'm using here, says that you will never see the end of God's love.
Britt, really what you're pointing out to us all is that God's Word is full of a lot of comfort as we deal with the reality of suffering and hardship in our lives, that when we look to the Word of God, it's a really comforting thing.
Yes, sir. I need it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Britt, the idea that you mentioned here that we're not alone, I think another verse comes to mind on that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, the temptation for us, Britt, is often to think that we've got it worse than anybody else has ever had it, that
we're
all alone in our suffering, but we should take comfort in the fact that people throughout time have suffered, and they've suffered like we suffer, and God expects us to learn from their example and learn from his word so that we can overcome.
Good point.
Thank you for listening and for giving us a call tonight, Britt.
Thanks, you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you on the program tonight. Appreciate Britt calling Dad and for his good comments on the program.
Yeah, we're glad, Britt, and all the rest of you, we're glad you're listening to us on the virtual Bible study. We want you to participate. Give us a call. We're talking about the reality of adversity and hardship and suffering in our lives. And we're talking about, right at this moment, Jay, we're kind of talking about some of the information that God's Word supplies to us about where this all comes from. Why is it so? I think a lot of times suffering comes. Now, it's not always so. We were talking about Job. You know, his comforters were wrong when they said that his trouble was due to his own sin. We know Jesus suffered. He never sinned. So it's not always caused by sin, but sometimes suffering comes into our life because we make wrong choices. And a good example of that might be if we chose to be intoxicated, to become drunken, and all the hardships that come in association with that. Very familiar quote from the Proverbs talks about the danger of intoxicating drink. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning verse 31 says, "Look thou not thou on the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thy eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." The last expression there, "I will seek it yet again." It talks about him suffering from his drunkenness, and yet he wants to do it again. The addictive nature of it and the trouble that it brings. The Bible is full of examples like that and statements of that sort that suggest that when we choose to do sinful things, we often pay a price for it.
Nick, you know, that's not limited to just alcohol. Other sins as well, we have to pay the price. We'll suffer physically and emotionally for the evil that we do.
Yep. It's certainly a shame when we see that God has given us such clear instructions on what not to do, especially on something such as no drunkenness, no fornication, and we see people who involve themselves in drugs and other activities that God prohibits us destroying our bodies, and the suffering that is caused to that individual who involves themselves in it, and not only that, but all the others who may be related, children that are born into those families, a father who will not take care of his children because of his drunkenness, does not provide for them as he ought, and then all of the other problems of physical hurt that comes through these sins. And the Bible teaches the Christian not let these things be named among us. And if we suffer those things, we ought to at least ask ourselves the question, why are we getting into these things when God says, do not do it?
I like what you say there. God is begging with us to follow his instructions because he knows what's best for us. He's not giving us instructions because he wants to destroy us with his instructions. He wants us to benefit, and that's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. So we should learn from people in the Bible who've made mistakes. We should learn from others around us who've made mistakes and realize that we can save ourselves a lot of problems if we'll just follow the instructions that God has given us.
But it's not only our own mistakes that can bring grief to our lives. Sometimes innocent people suffer from the bad choices that other people make. We were talking about drunkenness as an example of a bad choice we could make. But what if someone else makes the choice to be drunken and they meet us out on the highway and they crash into us and maybe, you know, kill someone or leave someone permanently injured? Sometimes innocent people suffer from the wrong choices that other people make. We were talking earlier about some of the great Bible characters like John the Baptist, who was beheaded by the sinful choices of King Herod. Or we talked about the Apostle Paul, who was persecuted because of people who were in the very process of rejecting the gospel message. That has often happened in human history as well, Jacob. So we might suffer from our own bad choices, or we might suffer because someone else is making sinful choices. Those are just some of the realities of life.
That's right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. You know, though, there are a lot of benefits that can come from suffering. Suffering, while it is painful and it is not something that's pleasant to endure, there are a lot of benefits that can come for us after our suffering. It can, go ahead.
Hang on, Jay. Before you get into that any further, I want to take an email from Jack down in Covington, Georgia. Jack, we're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. Along the lines of what we were just saying about our suffering and how we view it and how maybe we view how others are suffering, Jack writes, adversity is something we know will occur, but we don't know what form it will take. We are relieved when it doesn't hurt as much. I think it's not always how we handle adversity per se, but how we deal with those around us who do not understand why we're going through difficult times. Most of us look upon suffering of others as justified, and we have a tendency to act like Job's comforters, thinking a particular sin was committed for this suffering to happen. We want our own adversity to be almost painless. I think Jack is right. In other words, maybe sometimes I can more clearly see why someone else is suffering, or at least it's easier for me to make judgments about it, but it's harder for us to accept our own suffering, and we don't want to suffer, and we want our suffering to be of the painless variety. So I think Jack's right. We got to be consistent in application about suffering when it comes to us, if we're the ones who are in the midst of it.
We like to think that when other people suffer that they deserve it, right?
Right, and I think that's what Jack is saying there.
And they don't deserve it any more than we deserve it. We're all sinners, and we all deserve to suffer as a result of our sin. 931-381-4567, or questions at collegeu.com. Thank you for your email tonight, Jack, and for listening to the program. You know, suffering can produce great benefits in our life if we'll deal with the suffering and adversity in the right way. You know, suffering can either make us worse or it can make us better, and if we'll deal with it as God has prescribed, it will make us better. It can produce repentance and obedience. In Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, Dad, suffering causes us to look towards God, to reflect on spiritual things, and if we allow the suffering to do that to us, then it can produce repentance and obedience.
I think that's exactly right. And the idea of that is that if suffering makes us a better person spiritually, then it served a good purpose. Because really being spiritually what we need to be is all that ultimately matters. I think that's the idea that Paul had in mind in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, when he said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, I hear some people misapplying that verse, I think, you know, that if you got hurt or if you got sick, it's a good thing in the physical sense. No, not necessarily. Sometimes things are very hurtful physically. But Paul wasn't saying, he wasn't talking about the physical realm when he made that statement. He was talking about the spiritual realm. Because those who have their perspectives right can use even physical adversity to accomplish a spiritual good, making themselves more the kind of person that God wants them to be. That's how all things work together for good for those who love the Lord.
And so suffering can help us to be better people if we'll deal with it as God has prescribed. When we get back from the break, we want to talk with you, how do we deal with adversity? How can we deal with the difficult times we must face? Why don't you give us a call and let us know what you believe the Bible teaches about dealing with adversity at 931-381-4567 or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Do you remember when no one would have thought twice about getting the church involved in daycare centers, kindergarten, softball leagues, and youth camps? Are you upset when churches spend more time and money on social programs and recreational activities than on spreading the gospel? Are you tired of seeing congregations with their emphasis in entirely the wrong areas? We're still preaching the same gospel and still practicing the same things that you remember from years ago. We're committed to the idea of speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. Check us out. Please visit soon at the College View Church of Christ.
Hi, my name is Mike Holt. My wife and I, we love listening to the virtual Bible study.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to the program. We want to hear from you. How do you believe the Bible teaches us to deal with our adversity? 931-381-4567 is the number to call. Questions@collegeview.com is the email address to send your emails to. We hope to hear from you on the program tonight. How do you believe the Bible teaches us to deal with adversity, Nick?
Well, if we look at examples in the scripture, I'm thinking of David in particular right now. Here was a man of God, and he fell into the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Adversity came to his life because of his children and their sins. And we see that when he admitted his sins, repented of his sins, and confessed his sins, even though he had to face more and more obstacles, his life became a storm. But in the end, we see that by being faithful to God is how we're going to overcome it. And the New Testament teaches us, some people become bitter about the things that are happening to them. And bitterness will just eat us up. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And then Hebrews 12:15 teaches us, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So if we allow bitterness to be a part of our lives rather than looking for the solutions that God has given, when we do, like David, when we do ourselves in by violating his laws, then we're not going to be able to enjoy this life and certainly not the life to come.
It's going to compound our problems when we become bitter. You know, I think bitterness really, though, springs up, Dad, in us because of a worldly, physical perspective that we have on this life. We think this life is all that really matters, and if I am suffering, it's taking away from what I'm all about.
It's not fair. I shouldn't have to deal with this. Other people not having to deal with what I deal with. I've known a lot of people who have developed that bitter mindset, you know, and as you said, Nick, it just really eats them up. It's just a consuming sort of thing, and it certainly spirals one downward and into worse and worse emotional and spiritual state when they allow that kind of bitterness. But, you know, on the other hand, I'm sure you've known, Nick, as I have, people who dealt with physical hurting and suffering and every other kind of adversity, but they maintained a positive attitude, and they were actually just a real encouragement, that I felt better for being around them to see how they were dealing with their adversity.
You know, I think of other examples like the prodigal son, and we see the father who is so happy to see him come home, and yet the older brother seems to be having a problem with it.
Yeah.
And we see those situations. And then on the other hand, we see men like Job who faces his friends, and he has to face all of the questions they raise, even to the point of where they actually talk about his sons must be your children that have sinned. And that's difficult to take, but we see, we draw strength from men like Paul and Stephen and Job, whereas men like Judas, we don't get much
that's
help
right,
from them.
Exactly right.
931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We want to hear from you. That another thing that is connected with, I think, bitterness is as bitterness grows within us, we then begin to blame God. Why is God doing this to me?
How many times have you heard that? Very, very common for someone who's going through hardships to come out with that expression. Why is God doing this to me? Or why is God letting this happen to me? Or something of that nature. That is an all too common expression. I think whenever I'm confronted with that, what I try to help people realize is that any suffering or hardship that exists in this present world was not God's intention. That wasn't his plan. That's not what he wanted. If you want to know what God wanted, go back to the Garden of Eden. When God created everything, it was perfect. In Genesis chapter 1 at verse 31, when God had finished his creative work, it says, God saw everything that he'd made, and behold, it was very good. And so God's creation was perfect. And at that instant in time, as Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, there was no suffering. It was perfection. And that's the way God wanted it, and that was his intention for them. Now, something changed, and we know what it was that sin entered the world through the influence of Satan. And notice the difference. We just read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Let me read to you Genesis 3, beginning verse 16, and I want to know you notice the difference. Genesis 1, 31 says everything was very good. But now notice in chapter 3, verse 16, beginning, notice the woman to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Oh, sorrow is entered the world. He said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Death, sorrow, and death. So from everything being very good, now we have sorrow and death in the world. What happened in between? Sin. Sin came into the world. Satan deceived Eve. She partook of the forbidden fruit, and Adam did as well. And so I've tried to make the point when people say, why is God doing this to me? Don't blame God, because if God had it the way he wanted it, everything would be perfect, no suffering, no death. If you want to blame somebody, blame Satan, because you could. I think, Nick, root cause, you can put lay it all at Satan's feet. He's the one that brought this trouble into the world.
Yeah, that's correct. Satan is certainly the one who brought sin to the temptation of sin to Eve, and she fell. Adam was deceived. Adam begins to even blame God in that case, but we see Satan is the one that has brought all this about.
And when we blame God, Dad, and as we become bitter in our thinking, a lot of people then just get to the point where they stop serving God altogether because they're suffering in this life.
That's right. And again, I'm sad to say that I've known too many examples of people going through hardships and troubles. And instead of drawing closer to God and his people, which I think is the right reaction, and we want to talk about that some before our program is over, how should we properly deal with these things? The wrong reaction that a lot of people take is that they draw back. They pull away from serving God. They pull away from God's people. And I think that only compounds the trouble. I've heard the expression, Nick, you probably heard it too, that it doesn't make any sense to get mad at your wife and kick the dog. But getting mad at God and quit serving God because of your suffering is just like doing that. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical to quit serving God because of hardship.
931-381-4567 or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We'd love to hear from you on the program tonight.
Along that line that we're just mentioning, Jacob, God is not giving us this trouble. In fact, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. Give God the credit for all the bountiful blessings of life. That's what comes from him.
Well, guys, quickly, how do we deal with the adversity that we have to face in our life? I think one of the avenues we must employ, Nick, as we deal with difficult times, is to go to God in prayer. We must be praying to God, especially when we're going through difficult times.
Yeah, the instruction that Paul gives the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 6, the New American Standard Version says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then again, we see in James 5:13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." We ought to turn to the one who has created us, the one who knows what is best for us, and we ought to appeal to him for the help that we need.
There's really the answer to the question, how do you deal with affliction? James chapter 5, verse 13 uses the word, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." We need to go to God in prayer when we're afflicted.
Another thing we need to do along the positive line, now what we're talking about now is how do you positively and in the right way deal with these troubles of life. One of the things is to study your Bible and to trust what God's Word says. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 105, the familiar expression is, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's always true. That's true in good times and bad. You're in bad times, then let the word of God be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. When Britt called us just a few minutes ago, that's what he was suggesting. He goes to the word of God and gets comfort there. And we've got to trust, and when we study the Bible, we've got to trust that what God says is true and will work. I got an email here in which someone says, "Have you ever considered at what point a test becomes so difficult that you decide you can no longer trust in God and you must take over to solve the problem? The prophet Jeremiah describes a situation in which the temptation to solve a financial problem can become so great that we trust in man's ways to solve it. In Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, it says, 'Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. So Jeremiah was pointing out that those who attempt to trust in themselves are going to fail. We've got to trust God. So study your Bible, trust what it says, make application of its principles, and you'll be blessed.
Don't start to doubt God now when you're going through the difficult times. If anything, you need to trust God more now. Don't allow your faith to waver, because that only complicates the matters. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. Nick, another important thing, another benefit we have as children of God is that we can ask others for their assistance and for their help.
Yes, if we surround ourselves with the right kind of people, that is people who are honest in heart, that are wanting to do God's will, we can lean on them. As a matter of fact, Paul again to the Galatians says in chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." If I have a weakness, others will come that are stronger that will help me. We study passages like Romans 15 and verse 1 that teaches the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And if I'm overtaken in a fault, if I surround myself with people who are right kind of thinking people, they're going to come and they're going to help correct me and instruct me in the ways that are right. And as we've said earlier, often people run from the very areas where the help can come from that God is providing.
Look at the life of Christ. Look at what he did the night before his betrayal. He wanted to be around his brethren, right? And so we need to have the same attitude that we need to our brethren at times of difficulty so we can be encouraged.
Exactly right. We've already touched a little bit upon this, but a great way to deal with hard times is to think about good things that are happening to you. You know, at any point in your life, you might be able to say there's one, two, three adversities that you're dealing with, hardships. But if you stop to count, it wouldn't take long to count 100, 200, 300 blessings that you're continuing to enjoy even as the hardships are coming. The good blessings of God far, far, far outnumber any adversities that we have to deal with. And so certainly a way to deal with adversity is to count your blessings.
931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. How do you deal with difficult times? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
Welcome back to the program. We hope you'll stay tuned to the top of the hour as we talk about dealing with adversity. It's something that we all are going to face at some time or another. We're going to suffer, and we need to know how God would have us to deal with it. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. Well, Nick, God helps us in our times of trouble. He helps us with our adversity, and he helps in a lot of different ways.
That's right, Jacob. We might just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies," and it says, "the God of all comfort." You know, if we're going to have adversity, we need to go to the one who has all the answers or all the comfort. And there we need to also understand the ways in which he will comfort us. There are examples in the Old Testament about the time where Miriam receives leprosy. She and Aaron, of course, speak against Moses. And we see that on that occasion, by Moses appealing to God, that God comforts Moses, and I would say that he comforts Miriam as well, by removing the leprosy that she had. So there are times when God will remove the obstacle in our way. On other occasions, we look at life and we may think, well, there's just no way that I can get through this problem. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, it seems to me that Paul is facing some difficult times, and he says, "For we did not know, or we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life." If I understand what Paul is saying there, he saw a time when he thought the sentence of death was with him. He saw no way out. But on that occasion, again, we see that God delivered him. And he says he delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. We have to continue to remember that we have to count on God during those times. And as we mentioned earlier, he had the thorn in the flesh, of course, that God says, we're not removing that. You're going to get through this problem with my grace.
So what you're saying there, Nick, is sometimes God took away what was causing the affliction or the hardship. Sometimes he didn't. But, you know, if we have faith, that's really why we pray. We mentioned earlier prayer is a way of dealing with this. If I didn't think that God would help me with adversity and even sometimes take away the adversity, then there wouldn't be any use to pray for it. You know, so we pray, for instance, we very often pray for the sick. Well, we're praying that God will help them in dealing with that. And one of the ways we believe that he can and often does help is by removing the sickness. And so sometimes God helps by just taking away whatever, not always, but sometimes he takes away what's causing the adversity.
And then when I see someone who has a sickness that they're able to endure with and be spiritually minded, we draw strength from that as well as the individual who shows us how to go about doing it.
And you know, another thing, I think, way that God helps, Nick, as we deal with these difficult times is by the word that he's given us. The word helps us to get through those difficult times. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Through the Scriptures, we can have comfort. We can have a wisdom from God of how to deal with these situations.
You know, that's a real blessing, I think. You know, how does an atheist deal with suffering? You know, we pointed out, Nick, we're all dealing with suffering, but as people of God, we've got help because we've got some answers. We understand some things about it. How in the world does an atheist deal with it?
Yeah, Britt mentioned earlier, I believe, that, you know, sometimes you just feel like, how am I going to get through these problems? And I believe the passage that Jacob read, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's one thing that we can always be assured of, is whatever does come upon us, God has provided a way of escape from the temptations that are brought before us. If Satan brings in those temptations, God has said he will help us if we'll look for the way of escape. And so that by giving us that information, we can be assured that we can overcome our problems.
And some of that information includes the fact that God encourages us by letting us know that he's with us in these difficult times, Nick.
Yes.
In Acts chapter 18, verse 10, we see God says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And God lets us know through his word that he's with us, and he will care for us and provide for us.
That's correct. When I think about the psalmist, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's a matter of us looking for the source, as we alluded to there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God is the God of all comfort. And if we will look to him for the encouragement, if we'll look for him for the information that we need, he has provided all that we need that pertains to life, that we as the man of God can be completely furnished unto every good work that we are assigned.
Sometimes that encouragement comes by way of our fellow Christians, those who are like-minded and have the same precious faith. Apollos was such an example in Acts 18, verse 27, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews and publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So Apollos was a man who provided great comfort and consolation to his fellow Christians, and we get that same kind of encouragement today, too. I know that all of us in this room, I'm sure, who had tough times have drawn real strength from fellow Christians.
And also included in the word that God has given us is the instruction that he will be with us and he is there for us during these difficult times. But we also have the incredible promises of God, Nick, that we can draw upon as we go through the difficult times.
That's correct. You know, we look at our daily life and we say, what are we going to do? How's our children going to make it? And I suppose our parents and our grandparents, and we think of people that lived back earlier in the 20th century going through hard times, but everybody makes it through this life. And God has made certain promises to those who will seek his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "For us to seek the kingdom first, and all these things shall be added unto you." And when we look at the things that he's speaking of there, we're talking about the necessities of life. We're thinking about our food and our clothing and our shelter. God will provide that. Again, in Matthew 10, verse 22, when it comes to the promises to the spiritually minded, if the apostles were told by our Lord, he says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." So he's told us that there is that salvation, there is that reward if we will endure.
We have an email, I believe, Dad.
We got an email from Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike writes, "You mentioned complaining earlier in the program. That made me think of the children of Israel and the adversity they endured during their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. It always strikes me that when these people complained, God didn't like it. And how, if God thought they shouldn't complain in their situation, how much more is he going to hold me accountable for complaining about adversity and that I live in the most prosperous nation that has ever existed?" I think that's a good observation by Mike. Here the children of Israel were, and by our standards, that was pretty rough going in the wilderness. You know, camping out for a long, long, long time. We like to go camping, Nick, but we won't want to camp that long. I'd like to get home and get to a shower after a day or two. But here they were living in that situation. But even at that, when they complained, it was clear. When they murmured, God did not like it. Now, if he didn't like it in their situation, as Mike says, how much less will he like it? Here we are living in a lap of luxury, and if we murmur and complain now, surely that is not pleasing to him.
Well, really, we complain about things that are on the big picture are very minimal. You know, we complain if we have a cold. We complain if we've got a sore back. But when we compare what we've got to go through with what other people have gone through, with what Christ has gone through without murmuring and complaining, we really need to stop and consider our actions.
Mike's email goes on, Jacob. He makes a second point. He says, we don't know the providence of God. It could be that the situation that we're facing may be God's providence that might allow us to share the gospel with someone. For example, a disease or sickness that strikes someone, and because of their visits to the doctors, nurses, and medical personnel, that they can share the gospel with them. In other words, good things can come of bad, and that's certainly true, and I think a very good observation.
And, you know, it's a really excellent opportunity for us to demonstrate our faith in God when times are difficult, and yet our faith remains strong. Others will see that and see that we can gain strength from God and from a faith in him, and we'll help encourage others to live as they should.
Yeah. Thanks for the email, Mike. Glad you're out there listening to the virtual Bible study tonight.
Real quickly, if you want to send an email, send it to questions@collegeu.com or give us a call at 931-381-4567. We can get you on the air before we go off tonight. We're talking about adversity and how we deal with it, and there's lots of strength that can be gained from the Word of God, Nick, as we look at gaining strength and dealing with adversity.
Yeah. How often would we as Christians, when someone is passed from this life, and especially when we're talking to brethren, we would follow the instruction that Paul gave to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We won't read the whole text, but in the last verse there, as he talks about those who are dead in the Lord and those who are living in the Lord, when the Lord comes again, the words that he gives there is comfort, letting us know that as we live and serve God and the God of all comfort, that's the only way we can comfort one another in this world, is for our children, our parents, our loved ones to be serving the Lord when the Lord comes again, so that we can be ready to meet him.
Again, without the Word of God, without those words at a time of death, and without the other words that God has given us in the Bible, there would be no way that we could have the comfort that we need, Dad, as we deal with the difficult times that we face in this life.
That's right. As I was saying earlier, I don't know how people who don't have the Word of God and don't have His promises and don't have His Word and don't have the information supplied there, I just don't know how they're dealing with it. That's their problem. But I would tell them, if they ask me, you're passing up the only real way to effectively deal with these realities, and that is come to God, get His help.
Well, guys, I think we've had a good discussion on dealing with adversity. It shouldn't come to a surprise to us, Nick, when we got to go through difficult times. Everyone that has lived before us has gone through difficult times. Everybody who lives after us will go through difficult times. It's a fact of life that's common to everyone. Difficult times are coming. We need to be prepared, and we are prepared by going to God's Word.
And as we follow God's Word and we do the suffering, we can get through one thing, then we are able to get through the next thing. I think oftentimes we fail to realize the strength that the tribulations and problems, what good it did for the early church. It caused the early church, when they were scattered, to go forth preaching the word. It caused men like the Apostle John, who was banished to the island of Patmos. You know, he was their brother and fella. He was in tribulation in the kingdom, he's suffering. And all of that suffering is built, those letters that are being written is written to build up not only the people of that day, but us today as well.
Dad, we've got to be prepared, and by going to God's Word, by studying with others and having discussion with others during these difficult times, we can get through it and be what God would have us to be.
A lot of it has to do, in fact, I'd say all of it has to do with what's your perspective on these things. Are you looking at it purely from a this world now, here and now standpoint, or are you looking at it from the eternal perspective? If you can look at it that way, and it might end, Jacob, with the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 16. He said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got to keep our eye on that eternal goal of heaven. These things that pertain to this life are not significant in comparison.
And not only that, Dad, these things that we go through help us get to that ultimate goal, getting through these difficult times, dealing with the trouble and tribulation and adversity that we deal with here on earth. They actually help us get to the goal of heaven, and that's why we can have the attitude that we're instructed in James chapter 1, verse 2, to count it joy when we fall into these difficult times, because they are just simply helping us prepare to be what God would have us to be.
Exactly right.
Nick, thanks for joining us on the program. Enjoy the discussion with you tonight.
Great being with y'all.
And Dad, thank you.
Enjoyed it, Jacob. Look forward to these weekly studies over the internet. And if you're out there listening tonight, we're glad that you joined us. Try to join us every week on Thursday night. Get the family gathered around the computer. Use the computer for something good instead of bad. Study the Bible on Thursday nights and tell others. Try to tell others about what we're doing here and get them to join in as well.
Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to studying with you next week on the virtual Bible study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.